Let's open our Bibles back up to that wonderful chapter 7 of John. And we left off in the 31st verse. And we left off, and it's been ongoing and so beautiful. It's just becoming more and more glorious. But we left off Jesus testifying that He is the I Am, and that the Father has sent Him. And so wonderful there, it says that many of the people believed on Him. Many of the people received that. But in going on in verse 32, there were other results as well. And we'll pick it up there in that 32nd verse. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning Him. And the things that they murmured were, "I believe that He's the Christ." And to an unbeliever, let me tell you something, that kind of talk is murmur. Yes, it is. Something they don't want to hear. And so you can already see this didn't go over well with some. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take Him. They didn't have, couldn't figure out anything else, but we just got to stop this. This isn't going to happen, huh? Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto Him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come." Then Jesus said, the Jews among themselves, "Whither will He go?" Then said the Jews among themselves, "Whither will He go, that we shall find Him not? Will He go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles?" Boy, they're really starting to panic, aren't they? "What manner of saying is this that He said, 'Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I come, thither ye cannot come'?" Boy, they were sure perplexed, weren't they? Aren't you thankful you know the Word of God and believe the Word of God? And how simple, by His Spirit, the Word of God is. That this is, you talk about cookies on the shelf. This is just precious little cookies. But to the unbelieving, and remember, these were the religious zealots at this time. These were the educated. These were ones that had, you talk about theology. These were ones that had studied and studied and studied and studied right here and never got a thing. And never could understand or perceive or understand anything that the I Am, the Word, Jesus is the Word, that the Word is saying. You see that? You can study the Word, but if you don't believe the Word, you will understand nothing of what the Word is saying. Amen. Praise God. But they burned in their unbelief here. They came to the point where all they could do in response to it is, "I just want to kill Him." But only the Word holds them back, and I praise God because His hour had not yet come. Their intelligence and their knowledge had been ridiculed and crushed, and they were losing control over the people. Think of that. And that is the response every single time, because you cannot stand against the Word of God. You just can't. And you can try, but you can't argue with it. The only thing that they could do was to turn to more hate to try to shut it up. But He tells them here, "I'm just here a little while." And I thank the Lord for that encouragement to us, because to us, He needs to be sought while He can be found. Our life is but a vapor. God is so visiting His people at this time. The Spirit pouring forth. You talk about the latter rain. And boy, we've had some rainstorms, haven't we? But it's been pouring. And I thank God. I look at these rivers and what a torrent it is. And I think, Lord, you know, that's how You're pouring out Your Spirit right now to them that want it. Not many do, but to them that'll enter in, I'll tell you what. Won't take you any time before you get out there and your ankles waste. They won't see you no more. You're just out there and all that good stuff. But it's good. It's wonderful. But see, what we're seeing here as well too is His total control of the situation. I am. And I am says, "I am here to finish the Father's work. And then and only then will I go unto Him." Always remember that. Jesus Christ put himself upon that cross. They were not going to send him to his grave. That's what he chose. And I thank God that they were not going to, in a sense, give him death to send him. He had to give up the ghost. Praise the Lord. And we're so thankful again for this one. There be no power but of God. So Jesus tells these religious legalists that in the state that they're in, they're never going to find him. See, when you're in that state of hate, when you're in that state of denial, when you're in that state of defiance, that state of sin, not looking for him, you won't find him. And neither will you ever be able to come unto him. And as it says in John 3:3, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You talk to people all the time, and they just don't want to hear it. You know, they call you all sorts of names, just like, again, we're going to see that they're going to resort, since they can't take the Lord, because the Lord says, you're not going to take me to the time I give myself. they say, well, then we're just going to resort to name-calling. So we're just going to call you devil. You know, we're going to call you Samaritan. You know, just like when you tell people about Jesus, well, you're a bigot. You're just narrow-minded. You're hateful. And they're sitting there and say, no, I love you. I love you enough to tell you that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Christ in you will always have the same response. As Jesus said, they hated me without a cause, they'll hate you. We're not from here. We're of him. And I thank the Lord how true that is. But see, these ones, they remain completely blind and ignorant to that truth that's so plainly before them. And see, why? Go on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this is why that they're just totally ignorant to this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says in the 14th verse, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. See, if you're going to stay in that state of sin, you're not going to receive the things of the Spirit of God. And why? Because they are foolishness unto him. Have you ever spoken to people about the Lord, or maybe not even spoken about the Lord to people, but they know you believe in the Bible, and they treat you as if you're a fool, weak, messed up, whatever all those different things are. I raised my hand and said, sure. That's why I need the Lord. You know? You got it all together. You don't need Jesus. Huh? Be thankful that you know you need him. And it says, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That's why you can have seminaries until your ears and coming out your nose with studying and theology and professors and doctorates and all of these different things. But just as these Pharisees here, if you do not believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will never understand one bit of the Word of God. You cannot, because your understanding is left only to the level of the natural man. And as the natural man, you may study it as history, you may study it as literature. But in that, it has no effect to you, even though it is all-powerful. And someday, oh yes, it will affect you, because you'll never get away from the Word of God. At the end of the road, God. So see, no amount of man's study, theology, teaching, striving, the only way to understand the Word of God, the Father must draw him, and yea, by my Spirit. Now let's go on to verses 37 through 39. Back to John 7. In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But here's the whole gist, the crux of this little section here. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So this explains everything about 37, 38, and 39. And this is very, very wonderful and important. See, this end times, this last day of the feast, what a type it is for us. See, we're in that most precious time. We're in that end time. And see, there's three requirements for this overflowing, for this river, the belly to flow out of the rivers of living water that it gives us here, to be filled with all the fullness of God, that fullness of the Holy Ghost life. It was just about ready to be poured out because Pentecost is right around the corner. See, that's what it's speaking of, because the 39th verse tells us all about it. Read that again. But this he spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. See, think of that again. Those that believe on him should receive the Spirit. Amen? Amen. You have to be saved to receive the Holy Ghost. Right there, it tells you again and gives absolute evidence that it is a separate gift. Yes, we have the gift of Christ, salvation. That's wonderful. But we have, again, the second part of that, in a sense, if you will, is the Holy Ghost was not yet given, but would be given to those that believe. Hallelujah. This is why this is, again, this foreshadow of what is to come, which is Pentecost. So, wonderful little place to mark in your Bible again, just to give you more encouragement in those things. But notice here the three requirements: to thirst, to come, and to drink. So, we've been through this before, in a sense, already through John. And John is very repetitive in the things that it says, because the Lord wants us to know these things. This is very important. These are cookies on the shelf, but I'll tell you what, they're cookies we need to eat over and over and over. Put these things in remembrance all the time. But first of all, you need to realize that you have a need. That's the thirst. You're thirsting. So there is a need here for that thirst to be quenched by the grace of God, then understanding where you need to go to get that, so we come unto him. That is the believing. This drink is made very clear in verse 39, that the believing has already happened. The drinking here for this rivers of water, of this living water to flow out of a belly, is all encouraging here of the Holy Ghost. Again, a separate experience, a separate gift in salvation is the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that word belly, it means out of the womb. Rivers of living water that flow out, that's the fruitfulness that comes out of our life. See, that's that precious life of the water, speaking there of the Holy Ghost, that truly becomes all-powerful as we yield to the Lord in those things. Now going on in verse 40, many of the people therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? Shows you these people didn't know a thing. So about Jesus, yeah, well, I'll get to that in a second. But it makes you just have a fit when you're, and you see how patient our Lord was. I know who I'm talking to here. I know who's around me. They don't believe me, and see, you know, well, though one rises from the dead, they won't believe. Hath not the scripture said that Christ comes out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have ye not brought him? See, all those guys, why aren't you doing this? Why don't you go get him? Here, you guys go out and do it. Now, you listen to us. We're not going to do this thing. You go do it, huh? And what did the officers say? Never man spake like this man. Because this is the word. The word. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's just like, we're not touching this guy. There's something special about him. But notice what it said. It wasn't what he looked like, but it's what he said. It was the word. Praise God. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? Boy, they're really going after everybody. But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? So see, they're willing to break their own law to get rid of this guy because it's the word. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. So again, some believed. That's so beautiful. Because thou art the Christ. That's how simple it is. If thou shalt confess that he is Lord, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how beautiful this is. But it says that they were all divided. And notice, as it says there, there was a division among the people because of him. Don't let that confuse you at all, because going over to Luke chapter 12, and let's read about why he came. In Luke chapter 12, verse 51, this is about Jesus. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? Oh, yeah, every peace and all these things. He says, I tell you nay, but rather division. I'm going to bring you division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. It's a lot of division. So he said, I came to give that. So we understand, brothers and sisters, that the word always cuts to the intent of the heart. And you're going to make a stand one way or another. You're going to either stand in defense of the gospel or you're not. And as you know, as we come unto him, as we go unto him, we go out from among the camp. Always understand that. We don't go out from among the camp. You first go unto him. And when you go unto him, you go out from among the camp. And I thank God that we do and are encouraged. We seek peace as much as lies within us with all men, but we go unto him. But see, the unbelieving here, they're so ignorant of what we just read. They claim to know the scriptures. They claim to know where he was from. And they say, well, he's not from Bethlehem, but you know what? He actually was born in Bethlehem. Isn't that amazing? Well, we know all about him. You know, we know the word. We know this, the ordinances and things. But notice, Jesus doesn't correct them, does he? He doesn't. See, he leaves the unbelieving in unbelief. He'll leave them there. He'd leave that unbelieving heart in their ignorance, in their rebellion, and in their sin. See, the unbeliever, especially these religious ones, are so caught up in facts and in their natural knowledge, they miss his divinity. And I'll go on to say this, oftentimes believers can be so caught up in their own knowledge that they miss love. Amen? All right. Because we know that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Love is the spiritual encouragement to one another. But that's why I say there's so much testimony in this, we need to pay attention. But see, they would have taken him again, but they can't because they're powerless. See, it was just as Jesus told Pilate. If you go over to John chapter 19, you know, Pilate's a pretty big guy, and he's pretty powerful, and he's letting Jesus know who he is as Jesus is standing in front of him. And in John 19, verse 10, Pilate says unto Jesus, he says, speak thou not unto me, knowest that thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. So we understand that Jesus, you know what? He is going to stand in defense of the gospel of Christ. He's going to tell him, let me tell you something, my Father is the one that gives that. And it's not going to happen unless that is given. So there be no power but of him. So we finish up John chapter 7, where every man went into his own house. But then you go on over here to John chapter 8, but it says Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And again, this is that precious encouragement to us. See, he had nowhere to lay his head. He didn't. And you think about the Mount of Olives. What a precious place, that ascension. So much happened in the Mount of Olives. So much glory, suffering. It's basically Bethany was on, in a sense, on that mount. So much suffering, the garden. But praise God, his ascension, when he ascended into heaven, it was on the Mount of Olives. So it's a beautiful thing to understand that mount was the height of glory in so many different respects. And you think about, again, the olive, the oil would come forth from the olive. It was used for the anointing, so much healing, all of those things. But in order for it all to happen, it always had to be crushed. And we thank God that all of that encouragement is right there for our lives as well, too. So let's go on into chapter 8. Many of these things are familiar to us. And I'm just encouraged for us to really hear the Word of God as we're reading through this. If you don't have a Bible in front of you right now, really get with somebody to read the Word of God and hear this. Let the Spirit speak this to you. This is such a glorious chapter, a very familiar and a lot of different things. But we'll move through this here tonight. But let the ministering happen. It's a beautiful time. So Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. Early the next morning, he came again into the people, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Now remember in the last chapter about the people, it refers to them as those were the ones that believed. So we have these people that came back that morning to be taught because they believed the Word of God. They wanted to hear the Word of God. But there were some other ones that came too. And let's see in verse 3 who they were. And the scribes and the Pharisees. So they showed up and they brought unto him. See, they didn't show up to teach. They brought him something. So let's see what they brought him. They brought him a woman that was taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. So I'll tell you what, there wasn't any question here. I mean, these were eyewitness accounts. So these guys had really caught the culprit. So again, as those ones that believed, they came in to be taught. These came in to judge. I ask you, when we come into our meeting, by the grace of God, may we always be teachable. Amen? That we don't come in here to judge. That we don't come in here to, well, so-and-so is going to speak tonight or something like that. So this is tryout night or something of that nature. Let's come here to hear the Word of God. Amen? To enjoy, praise the Lord, whether it's testimony, whether it's song, whatever it may be, to be encouraged in the love of God. These are paramount principles, brothers and sisters, to really settling down, dwelling together, if we're really going to be bridal ones. God, search our hearts. If there be any wicked, evil way in me, let's get it done. Amen? Let me break before you. It's okay. That pride will keep you afar off from God. It will. It always will. But he gives grace to the humble. Grace to the humble. So they brought him a woman taken in adultery, and they set her right in the midst. And they said unto him, Master. So we get right there. There was no belief in that. When you call him Master, that's just teacher, whatever it may be. They were actually just mocking him by calling him this anyways. But it will never be the Christ, as the unbeliever will never call him. But they said, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. So we know as well within the Scripture that ye that are spiritual restore such a one. We know that these weren't spiritual ones at all because they were going to destroy such a one. So you can either restore or you can destroy. You can either restore or you can start picking up stones to throw. And God help us to always have that love and be the restorers, to be encouraging to one another to love. Oftentimes, I remember and I look at that wonderful little painting I have from Arlene in my office, where the two mountain goats, the rams, had come to that pass on the mountain. And it was only wide enough for one to go through. Well, instead of saying, well, we're just going to fight this out to the death and we'll see who gets to go through, one would get down completely on the ground and the other would walk right on top. Are you willing to get down? Are you willing, by the grace of God, to be lowly? And oftentimes, brothers and sisters, it could even be to a thing that, you know what, you're right. You were right in principle. You were right is exactly what it is. But by the grace of God, I'm not living to be right. I'm living by the grace of God to have his love work effectually in my life. Paramount. Paramount. When we face things, God help us. Lord, I do not want this to be about me. I want this to be your word. So, Moses, they said, now Moses, in verse 5, in the law, commanded us. So see, they were going right to law, weren't they? See, they weren't going to grace. They were going to judgment. That such should be stoned. But what sayest thou, Jesus? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down. See, there you go. See, he's going to get lowly. He's going to get down. Praise God. And when you get down, let me tell you something. That's when the power of Christ will rest upon your life. And you talk about power, though, you know, you all know what happens in this story. But listen to these things that happen. And with his finger, he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Praise God for what's going on there. He's just kind of writing on the ground as they're just seething in their hate and think that they've got him. We've got him now. You ever had people think they got you now? Yeah, but God. But God. No, if he be for you, who could be against you? So when they continued asking him, see, they continued on, and he just kind of kept running. He lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now you recall not too long ago, a woman at the well, didn't you? What did she say when she went back into town? Oh, I met a man that told me everything that I ever did. Now, I don't know what Jesus wrote in the ground, but I'll tell you one thing. He knew what everything that they ever did. Now, that woman that went back from the well into the town, she was a joyous one, wasn't she? She was so thankful that, you know what, this man knew me. I don't have to hide anything anymore. And you know what? You all have known my life, that woman at the well. She had a rough life. She was a despised woman. She had to go out at night to get her water. Right? She did. But she met a guy that knew everything and more about what she ever did and still loved her and wanted to be with her and would never leave her and said, oh, you drink of me, honey, and you're never going to thirst again. It gave me chills all over thinking about my lover. And so what did she do? She came back, didn't he? But these guys, in their unbelief, they don't come back in joy. They don't exit rejoicing. They just exit even with more hate. See, with the word of God, neutral you can't be. You're either going to go on to more love, more encouragement, more rejoicing, or you're going to go on to more hate, more stiff-necked, and just, again, just more defiance in it. So, he says to them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And first cast a stone. And again he stooped down, he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. See, they were convicted by their own conscience. I want to be convicted by the word of God. You see? See, they were still going back in their strength. They were going back and, well, did I keep that? Did this keep that? I want to be chastened by the love of God. You see, there's a difference there. They went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even into the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, this is so beautiful, because I'll tell you what. You take the grace of God like this, and you just go on, and you stay with Jesus by the grace of God. Let me tell you something. You'll be the woman someday standing in the midst. You'll be the woman seated in the midst. And that's why he turns to her and lifts up, and he says in verse 10, he lifted up himself and saw no one but the woman. Does that make your heart kind of flutter? That Jesus looks at the woman. And matter of fact, when he says woman, remember Brother Ty speaking so sweetly on that text. That woman, one of the greatest meanings of it is the bride, the wife, woman. And that's all he could see was her. And that was the only one that was with him, right there in the midst. So again, take a little bit more encouragement in these scriptures that the Lord has. There's many layers in here. He says to her, "Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man." And here's the key word, Lord. Lord. Not master. Praise God. And I believe the word of God says, "Calleth upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved." And that's why he could say to her at that time, she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." So he didn't send her out and say, "Now, honey, you just keep yourself right, and don't you sin like this anymore." When she called him Lord immediately at that moment, neither could she sin, cannot sin, and every sin that had ever been done was just washed away. Isn't that beautiful? That's why he said that, "And go and sin no more," because she couldn't sin. Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, neither can he sin. Praise the Lord. How foolish it would be to say, Jesus sent her out, "Okay, honey, now you got to live it up. You better live to the law." Huh? Praise God. Just another little cookie on the shelf that we can rejoice in. Amen. So, again, how do we sin no more? By believing in Jesus Christ. By being born again. Amen. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, see, this is so encouraging here in this sweet verse here. See, this isn't just believe. Now, this is follow me. Follow me. And you're not going to walk in darkness, praise the Lord, but shall have the light of life. And there's this encouragement to go on with the Lord. Now, but that sweet time, boom, the Pharisees. "Therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of thyself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go." See, if you don't have faith in Jesus, you have no sight. You have no knowledge. You have no wisdom. You don't have anything. Because why? Because you're dead. And when you're dead, you don't have anything. You're not alive. So this is exactly the state that they were in. They could not understand a thing. Jesus says, "Ye judge after the flesh, and I judge no man." See, Jesus came to save. Go on over to John chapter 12 and verse 46. Yeah, John 12, 46. He says there, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words," and see, these are these people here, "any man hear my words," and they heard those words, "and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Praise God. Oh, it's coming. But that wasn't its time. That's why Jesus said, I came to save. He came to save the lost. And he would that all men be saved. So there it was. Now, verse 16. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law, notice that as he says your law, that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. So see, he did have sufficient witness because his Father had given witness as well as himself. Verse 19. Then Jesus said, then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Brothers and sisters, that is still the same today. If you don't know Christ Jesus as Lord, I don't care what religion you are in. I don't care what you call Father, Abba, blah, and all that. You do not know the Father. You do not know him. Go on over to 1 Peter 1:21. We'll go a little bit further with this. And this isn't to be harsh. This is to be loving to say, you need to know Jesus. You can't come unto the Father. Matter of fact, not only can you not come unto the Father, but it is by Jesus, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, not only can we not go unto the Father without Jesus. Listen to this. It's by Jesus that we do believe in God. So see, you when people tell me that they believe in God, you can't believe in God without Jesus. That's the truth. That's the Word of God. If I believe the Word of God, you cannot believe in God. You may think you believe in God, but you cannot believe in God because the Word is the only way to have access into the presence, into the knowledge, into any type of a relationship. God will have nothing to do, and he cannot look upon sin. That's why he sent his Son to become sin, to be made sin for us who knew no sin. And so that's how, again, this is so powerful, is that ye neither know me, back in verse 19 of chapter 8, nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury. That's a sweet thing. The treasury was a part of the temple where they brought all of the most valuable things. They would put it in the treasury. How absolutely appropriate that the treasure of it all, the treasure in us, is in the treasury, giving this wonderful message. You know, just the little things, but he's the treasure, isn't he? See, you don't have any treasure anywhere unless it's Jesus. You don't have church. You don't have a temple unless you got Jesus, you know. And that's good stuff. I love how the Lord, those little things that mean so much. So Jesus was in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid his hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. So again, you see, he just continues to tell you, this. No one's going to touch this until we wrap this up. Brothers and sisters, that's the same with your life. Know that. No man is going to take your life. The Lord is in control of that. This heart is going to beat as many times as the Lord is going to appoint this heart to beat. My lungs to breathe, all of those different things. Now, I do encourage all of us, we take care of our bodies. Lord's given us these wonderful temple, and we're to take care of them as, in a sense. But it's always under trusting and under the hand of God in that encouragement. But that's why we don't fear, because he is in control. Goes on to say, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Isn't that something? He's getting real direct now. He's telling them about them. He says, you're going to die in your sins. Yep. Because you're totally consumed and occupied with sin. See, when you're occupied with the law and the ordinances and things like that, you're occupied with sin. Amen? Because the only place there is no sin is where there's no law. Amen? Where there's no law, there's no sin. And that's what's so wonderful. Where there is no law, there is no sin. So we thank God and are encouraged in that. Go on over to Romans chapter 3. And in Romans chapter 3, in verse 21, it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." So see, even the law and the prophets, again, they told of this. This was the witness. This is how it was manifest. But now it is manifested because of Christ Jesus. This righteousness of God is without the law. Verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is what? Which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." So again, righteousness isn't by works. Righteousness isn't by keeping something. Righteousness comes by one thing, and that's by faith, by believing in Jesus Christ. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Praise be to God. So we have this. We understand that when Jesus tells these ones, you're going to die in your sin, it's because they do not want to accept the righteousness of God, which is, "I believe Jesus Christ is Lord." How wonderfully simple. "Then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come." Could you imagine even being in that room and listening to this as one of us? We'd get so frustrated, you just want to start slapping. I don't know what else you'd do, clubbing. It's like, what are you saying? Don't you get this? And these are the most educated of the time. These are the ones that, as they say, are the know-it-alls of theology. Do you see what the Lord is getting at here? You cannot come unto me unless the Father draws you. You are not going to worship me and understand my word. You can go at it as much as you want, but it's going to be by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I will give grace unto whom I'm going to give grace. I'm going to give mercy to whom I'm going to give mercy. And it's so beautiful. This is so, just thank him. Rejoice tonight in how much he loves you, that you get this. "Then said the Jews," again, will he kill himself because he saith, "whither I go, you cannot come." Verse 23, "And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world." See, he's getting ready. He's going to unleash it on it. He's going to call them here in a minute. "You're of the devil. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins." See, that doesn't even really affect them. They're still worried about him. Where are you from? Where's he going? How's he going to get out of here? Jesus tells him again, "You're going to die in your sins." But it doesn't affect him. Have you ever testified to somebody and say, you know, if you don't accept Christ Jesus as Savior, you will go to hell? Then they'll start asking about you, just like they're asking about Jesus. They're not concerned with their sin. You have to be convicted of sin. There has to, again, be that thirst, the recognition that you have a need to come to him. Praise God. So, he says to him again there in verse 24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Boy, he's really telling them. Telling us, he's telling everybody, you don't believe in me, you're going to die in your sins. Colossians 2, let's go over there real quick. Colossians 2, let's read verse 6. It says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." So we walk in the Lord. Verse 13, jump over to there. It says, "And you," that's us, we've received Christ Jesus, this continues on in this, "being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." See, when we believed in Christ Jesus, we were forgiven of every sin, all of our trespasses, everything that was done evil, that was, it's over. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And I already mentioned that, Romans 5:13, where there is no law, there is no sin. So quit condemning yourself. Quit condemning another brother or sister in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Rejoice in that. Thank God for it. It's all right to say amen and thank you, Jesus. Verse 25. Then they said unto him, who art thou? Oh, really? Is that what this conversation has come to? Who art thou? This is really bothering them. And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we started this conversation many days ago, I'm still the same. I've been telling you from the beginning. It hasn't changed. He says, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. So see, we already read and we saw that the word's going to judge them, but not now. And that's what he's telling them. There's another foreshadow there, is that there's going to be judgment if you don't turn from your unbelief. And what happens, verse 27? They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. They didn't understand a thing, did they? Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Now, when he says, Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, they're not going to lift him up as Christ. What they're going to do is lift him up on a cross. That's coming up, and it's coming soon. But see, the sinner can't do but what God is going to have them do. Amen? See, if they really knew, the devil did everything to keep Christ off of that cross. You know that, the temptation, all of these different things. But it was the joy that was before him. There was no way that was going to stop. It was the most joyous thing that ever could be done, was Christ Jesus to finish that, to do all of that. And then praise be to God, in that send us the Holy Ghost to have a wife. So that was why, again, it was so joyous. Nothing was going to prevent that from happening. But see, these ones that hate him so and just want to get rid of him and all of that, they're going to be the ones that, in a sense, God's going to use to assist the whole purpose. Everything that's going to magnify me, you're going to do. You're going to hang me on that cross. Dirty devils. Judas, you think that you're just being evil and deceitful and all of this. You did exactly what the word said you'd do back in the Old Testament. Know this. Know this for your life as well, too. God has appointed the wicked for the day of evil. He has. What's the table that he's prepared for you? In the presence of your friends? In the presence of your enemies. Amen. And then my foes. Praise the Lord. Because those are the ones too in that type that are going to bring the greatest glory to your life. Amen. It's going to be that way. So know these things, brothers and sisters. Believe him. It's so sweet. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Praise God. And he spake these words, many believed on him. Isn't this wonderful how one still continue to believe? Even though as the Pharisee and all of those ones that hate him so much, they're getting more incensed in their hatred. But praise the Lord. And that's like today. Aren't people getting more incensed in their hatred towards the things of God? Aren't they trying to extinguish everything from the Word and the Lord and, you know, all of these things? And I'm telling you, don't fear these things, brothers and sisters. There's a lot of fear going out there. And I do not fear what man can do unto me. I know God is for us. They're passing laws. They're doing all these things. Some things are coming out. Nothing gets by God. It's okay. God's on the throne. He's going to give it to his Son. And I'll tell you what, I intend to be there with him. Praise God when that occurs. Hallelujah. We're preaching that. So then Jesus in verse 31 said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then Are ye my disciples indeed? Isn't that wonderful? I do. I want to continue in that word. I want to be encouraged in that way, to have a testimony, to be able to teach people of the word of God. And ye shall, and notice, it's in the word. If you continue in the word, not in your strength, not in what you think and all those things, but in the word. And he goes on to say, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be of Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest that ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. See, going over to Romans 6, and this is such a beautiful encouragement here. In Romans 6, and we'll go ahead and read from Romans 6, 6 here. But this is talking about that servant of sin. Actually, 6, 6. Knowing this, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also with him shall live. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died once unto sin. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it the lust thereof. Neither yield your members instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as the instruments of righteousness unto God. See, basically the Lord's just telling, be who you are in me. Just let me live in you, honey. Don't live a lie. This is who you are. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but you're under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. I had so many legal Christians just read that verse. See, if you're just going to yield to sin, if you're just going to be that way, then you're just going to be an unrighteous one, because you're going to yield to somebody in that regard. Go on, let's read on to what Jesus tells us. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. That is who you are. Know it. And he that is born of God doth not commit sin, neither can he sin. Know that. And sin does not have that dominion over me because of the life of Christ that lives in me. Now, Paul said, he says, don't let sin reign in your life. But that don't be confused, brothers and sisters. A Christian cannot sin. But you sure can be lied to. And you can follow after a lie. You're a sheep, but you could bark like a dog. But I don't want to bark. I shouldn't be. Matter of fact, a sheep doesn't bark right. But you got to know this. And then you begin to live thankful. And when you live thankful, then there's power, rejoicing. When you live prideful, it's defeat. Be thankful. Thank him, thank him, thank him. Let's go back to John. And yeah, sorry to keep you a little bit long, but it's just so exciting. I love it, and I love you all, but I did intend to finish up 8 tonight, but we won't. But it says, so the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. And I think that's a good one to leave it on there. And who knows, maybe we'll just finish up the rest of this in heaven before we get back. But I thank God that, you know, he captivates your attention. And doesn't he? And I never want to wear you out. I really don't. But I do want to just trust the Lord and where he takes us and things. But I've enjoyed being here tonight with you. It's been a treasure to just to be in John and to be encouraged of truth and love. Amen. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Let's stand and be dismissed.